Democrat Jim Langevin got a room full of Republican House colleagues to acknowledge climate change, if it occurs, could be a threat to national security. Langevin's amendment to the House 2018 Defense Authorization Bill codifies climate change as a serious issue for the Defense Department and directs the Defense Secretary to start taking action. Federal News Radio Scott Mossione asked Langevin about this.
Well, I'm excited that the amendment was included in the National Defense Authorization, that it is officially now included in the act. It says it's a sense of Congress that, among several things, that climate change is a direct threat to the national security of the United States and is impacting stability in areas of the world where both where the United States Armed Forces are operating today and where strategic implications for future conflict exist. So we all know that climate change is affecting the world in so many ways. It's affecting the United States and our economy. And very often we talk about the climate change from an environmental or an economic perspective, but we really don't talk about it as a national security issue. Now it is a national security issue and it's front and center.
Now you're from Rhode Island, which is the ocean state. Are any of the bases in your district being affected currently by climate change?
Well, first of all, as a coastal state, we do feel the effects of climate change most acutely. And I want to give great credit to our senator from Rhode Island, Sheldon Whitehouse, who has made climate change as one of his signature issues and has given over 100 speeches on the floor of the U.S. Senate about the effects of climate change. But specifically, we have a National Guard base that is right on the coast there, and although we haven't experienced any significant mission-critical effects of climate change yet, it is a concern that we have, and you can see in time down the road as ocean waters rise and the waters are warming that it very well can and will have an impact both on that base or other areas of Rhode Island where we've already experienced significant problems from storm surge and erosion and other effects of significant storms.
The House Armed Services Committee is a Republican-dominated committee. What does that mean to you that they pass something, an amendment, that has to do with climate change and addressing it?
Well, I'm glad that that my colleagues on both sides of the aisle are willing to be at least open-minded enough to confront and acknowledge that irrespective of the causes of climate change, that the planet is warming and it's having an impact, and it's hard to ignore the powerful statements that people like Secretary Mattis and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dunford, have made on numerous occasions when they talk about the impact that climate change is having on our military. On our troops and the missions that we perform around the world, both to protect the United States and our interests around the world. So for example, when you the realities are that when you have coastal bases, for example, when climate change presents an existential threat, when you look at Naval Station Norfolk, for example, the home of the Atlantic Fleet, where they already suffer from nuisance flooding, or there's inland bases where volatile weather is causing or can cause extreme heat or wildfires and storms, all of which can scuttle training missions and readiness. All of these things have an impact, and we need to face reality and look at what is happening. So when we have Secretary Mattis, for example, and he says that he agrees that the effects of changing climate, such as increased maritime access to the Arctic and rising sea levels and desertification, among others, are impacting our security situation, we have to listen.
Your amendment asks the Secretary of Defense to identify the top 10 most threatened installations for the military. What happens after those have been identified?
So it requires that not only do we have to identify the 10 most vulnerable military installations within each service based on the effects of rising sea tides, increased flooding, drought, desertification, wildfires, thawing, permafrost, and other categories that the secretary determines necessary, but then also looking at what are the mitigating steps that need to be taken to protect those assets, and then also the costs that are associated with such mitigations, so that what percent impact is this going to have on the budget going forward, because they have to deal with these things whether we like it or not, because again it's affecting readiness and training, and then also they need to come up with contingency plans, and so these are the things that they're going to have to look at, and also the cost associated with these mitigation steps and plans.
And final question for you, Congressman, have you had any discussion with any of the people on the Senate side on climate change and if they would be interested in adding an amendment or doing something down on the floor for the Senate version of the bill?
Yeah, I think there could be some similar language that the Senate either may be looking at or has looked at. So hopefully we'll be able to hold this language in conference. I'm hoping that because it passed ostensibly with strong bipartisan support, that we'll be able to hold it in conference as a placeholder and actually see it make it through to the end when the NDAA is signed into law. But again, we're looking at a number of important things: the identifying the bases that are most impacted, the mitigation plans, the costs associated with it, as well as having the combatant commanders identify and speak to how climate change is affecting their strategic battle plans. All these things are collectively important for best protecting and understanding the security challenges that the United States faces over the next 20 years and beyond.
That's Rhode Island Democrat Jim Langevin speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni.